Coming up on TMS, Scott has returned and has tales to tell.
The world's largest wad of paper is finally here.
It's kind of anticlimactic for some reason. Don't eat those caramel apples.
Penny did not get a nose job.
Dustin Diamond shanked a dude.
Ah, screech. Recommendals.
Tom's tech time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
How about them? How about them? How about those grape nuts? Flakes?
How about those grape nuts? Flakes?
How about them? How about them? How about those grape nuts? Flakes? They are so good, good for you too. The 2-minute energy works for you. So how about them? How about them? How about grape nuts? Flakes?
The Morning Stream. A little dab will do ya.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream after about 5 days. How many days? We did a show Monday.
How long has it been? Before Christmas, right before Christmas. So really, it's been what?
Five days, seven days. Well, yeah, if you count just normal show days, it hasn't been that many.
No.
It's only been like...
We're acting like we pod faded or something.
Yeah, cut it out, man. Jeez, people. Pod fade. What does that even mean anymore in 2014? What does it even mean?
You know, the coiner of that term is actually in the chat room.
No, shut up. Who said it?
Scott Fletcher.
Oh, that's right. He does get
He originated the term pod fading.
That's right.
But he did it in a greater voice than I could ever do it.
No.
Pod fading.
Yours sucks. I'm telling you right now. Yours blows.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott Fletcher. I missed when he did a show on the regular. Do you remember those days when he used to do that thing he did? It was a badass show. I used to listen to it all the time. Scott Fletcher, get back on it, man. Make that show again.
Yeah, come on now.
Why don't you do that again? All right. It's New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's Eve, everyone. We hope that your time with your families and friends over this holiday period has been lovely and fun and that you had a good time. I really hope that's true. I hope that's true of Brian as well. I can tell you that my trip to Las Vegas came and went, and I was there for 7 days, Brian.
Yeah.
7 days in Las Vegas, Nevada. Sin City.
You make me jealous with that kind of talk.
I feel honestly. Like I'm here to... I've come to a conclusion, though, that I want to share with you, because you are a Vegas aficionado.
I'm a Vegas aficionado. I like Vegas.
Yeah, you like it there. You have a good time there. Brian likes it there. He'll go there. He'll do some things there, and he'll come home. It's fine.
I'll do completely different things there than you'll do.
Yeah, for sure, because I don't...
You and I could go to Vegas at the same time and never see each other because we would... Our paths would never cross.
Well, here's one true thing we can always count on. You and I both need to eat to sustain our lives, so we would eat together, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I don't gamble, and I don't drink. And that's a thing a lot of people do in Vegas. In fact, it's two of the primary activities in Vegas.
It's two of the things that really keep Vegas lit.
Yeah. I agree. Now, the gambling thing, people...
figuratively speaking, and literally. Physically, yeah.
For me, the gambling part is not it's not some weird, prudish, freaking I'm an Amish guy with a beard saying we need to raise the barn today. I'm not that guy. I don't gamble because I just know I'm going to lose, and I can't stand that feeling. Mm-hmm. Because it's stacked against me, and I don't get any thrill out of it. I'd rather put all my quarters in video games in arcades than put them in slot machines, because just nothing good ever happens. And it's not all that entertaining. Lou. Oh, I got 3 instead of 4 of the apples. Shoot. Let me do it again. Lou.
The problem is that you just haven't found the right game.
I guess.
Okay, yeah, 90% of the games in there are that lou. But there's Lord of the Rings games. There's alien games.
Yeah, but they're the same. It's just like, okay, I'm going to push the button. Lou. Lou. Oh, I only got 3 Frodos. I need 4. Another quarter into the hole. Lou. You know what I mean? It's just replace the cherries with your favorite nerd thing.
Well, that's true, but it does help the medicine go down.
Okay, fair enough.
I felt like the 3 hours that I sat in front of that Lord of the Rings movie or machine was just like watching a movie. Only I spent more and
there were less miraculous.
It was less Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah, and there were less miraculous Legolas moments. You know,
let's talk about that.
All right. I have Vegas stories to tell you, but we'll start a couple of days in.
Okay.
I went to see The Hobbit with the kids and the wife in Vegas at the Orleans, which apparently hasn't gotten the memo that everyone's pumping sweet air through their air conditioning now, and they're not. Because I did notice this year. Every casino, like all of them, smelled great. Like, when's the last time I went to the Luxor and wasn't overwhelmed by the 1,000-year-old cigarette smell? This year is the answer. It smelled great in there. Yeah.
Oh, see, they've been doing that for years. Like every casino has their signature scent, and mostly it's pumped into the entrance and the lobby areas, because when you get pulled in, they're like, oh, this place smells great. I think Aria. Well, we talked about that before.
Yeah.
Aria smells great. Probably the best.
Almost throughout, Aria does.
Yeah. And you even got some of those scent sticks. I've got some of them here myself.
I'll tell you what cracked me up is the Aria had an ad running on a big video wall in the middle of the casino, repeating an ad for stopping smoking.
What?
I could not believe it. I still, to this second, I can't believe that was happening in front of my eyes. Why would they do that? That seems counterproductive in Vegas, but
that seems, it seems like one of those things. There's a casino. It's Ellis Island over behind Bally's. It's where the karaoke magic happens, where I've done karaoke a few times. Mm-hmm. Their slot club will give you a free pack of cigarettes, if you earn like 25 points on their slot machines.
Wow. Really?
It's like, some places, oh, how about a free buffet, or how about a discount on a room or some show tickets?
Ah, how about a pack of cigarettes from Ellis Island? That's pretty gnarly. Well, they imagine my complete and utter shock to see a guy up there going, yeah, it took me 25 years to finally quit, but now that I have, I feel so much better. And it was just like this big, long infomercial about quitting smoking in the Aria. I couldn't put my head around it. Anyway, here's the deal.
So the Orleans.
The Orleans still stinks. They're not doing the air. They're not pumping anything through there. Stinks like a butthole. It's terrible. But they have this great movie theater mega complex thing upstairs on the top floor. Which I don't know that many people are aware of, but it's like a fully functioning multi-screen theater up there.
I'm totally unaware of this. Yeah. I know one theater actually on the strip by
the AMC over
M&M's
there.
M&M's Land. Yeah, exactly.
Or the United Artists or whatever it is,
We
were surprised. But this wasn't the first time. We went there last time we were there, but it's still kind of surprising. It's like, what's this doing? And it's fully staffed with dudes in little vests and telling you what theater to go to and all the concessions. I mean, it's a full-on theater up there. Huh? So we go up there, no assigned seating, of course, because we're enlightened here in my home state, and nobody else gets it. But anyway, we go in there to see The Hobbit. The Hobbits, you're familiar with The Hobbits, the furry feet and the wizardry?
It's like a short people movie, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Little people.
Yeah, it's to help encourage, it's to help open people's eyes to the plight of the small man.
That's right. So like a band of little people hire another little person of a different race.
Yeah.
To help them defend themselves against slightly larger people.
Yeah, against the gold sickness is what my understanding is.
Against elves.
Yeah, against elves.
Ironic.
Yeah, elves with giant deer mounts. Those are the ones.
Right, exactly.
And there's something about that. The guy in the deer mount can't touch his girlfriend because she'll die if he does or something like that. Oh, wait, that's the pie maker. Yeah. Anyway, so here's the deal. We go in there and see that, and I realized during that movie, I think I've had enough of Peter Jackson's let's watch Legolas perform physical miracles. There are too many of them in this. Yeah. Now, Return of the King, fine. Have him take down an Oliphant or whatever the hell they call the big elephants. Have him take one of those down single-handedly and surf around it like Tony Hawk on a Saturday. That's fine.
Right, right. And there's another surfing scene with a shield down a flight of stairs that he skateboards around shooting.
I forgot about that.
Arrows all the way. Yeah.
Oh, so there were more. Yep, you're right. And then these last three Hobbity movies, he's just gone nuts with it. And this last one, like those steps, the falling apart freaking stone bullshit.
Running up the falling rocks like like it's just a staircase up to the second floor of the Brady Bunch house.
I couldn't stand that part. So it's a fine film. It's a good third ender. I didn't mind the CGI Billy Connolly. I thought all that stuff was fine. Mm-hmm. I just cannot do any more Legolas feats. I can't do it. It's too much to have him just defy all physics each and every time he's on camera.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me, especially in a series of books or in a book that he was never in. Right. So,
well, they've got to pad it up. I don't mind seeing him in there. I didn't read the books. I never read The Hobbit, but
yeah, but see, okay, I take your meaning. I'm cool with him being in it. I like the white orc. I like the that stuff in this movie No problem with them inserting it, pads it out, adds some new stuff. I get it. Totally cool with it. But it's kind of like saying, I don't mind if Dunaway comes to my party. He's not normally at my party, but I don't mind if he comes to my party. And then he gets there and just pisses all over the furniture. You know what I mean? Like, what? Why? It's like you're invited. Be nice. Calm down and don't act like you're in a video game. Anyway, there's that. There's the
Hobbit.
All
they needed was a little bit of music.
With a little hammer smash and everything. Yeah, right. All right. So I got to tell you that here's the chronological trip. And I'm going to tell you this in rapid succession because we don't have all day. But I'm dying to tell you some of the major things that happened. Because why do these things happen to freaking me?
God, I know.
In Vegas, it's all amplified. It's like turned up to 11.
Well, that's why. That's why it happens in Vegas. Because everything has to be extreme.
That's true. So we had a lovely drive out there, clear skies the whole way, no storms, no snow. We were real lucky that way. It's wonderful. Cold, but you know, fine. When we left the house here, it was like 38. That's not bad. When we got there, it's like 54. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Ended up snowing while we were there, which is weird.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But anyway, I get there, and here's the problem. We're on that freeway, and you know when you hit it around rush hour? Ooh. To get into Vegas, it's a terrible time to get there.
Yeah, like you're basically just in a crawl through that little sea of overpasses.
Yes,
and lawyer billboards.
Yes, it sucks. I hate it. And I forgot that. Oh, if we leave at 10, we get there at 5. That is a terrible idea, right?
Right.
So we hit that, and just about the time we hit that, both Nick and I need to go to the bathroom. We forgot. We should have gone at the Indian reservation like a half hour before. We're just like, we have got to go now. Like, let's get to a thing and go. And so we're both like, Mom, we got to find an exit. So Kim's driving. She's like, oh, all right, fine. How about this one? She takes one of those back alleys. You know the ones.
Oh, God.
That are just sort of, I don't know, ahead of the strip there.
Like the frontage road.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's where like all the CSI murders happen.
Right, exactly.
It's a terrible place. It really is a terrible place. And it's weirdly empty. That's the thing I didn't like about it the most. Like the strip is packed, the highway's packed, but this little like warehousey, strange bar, weird pawn shop area, like not a living soul. Just the ghosts of those who have come before, you know? Like creepy and terrible. And I'm like, there's not going to be a public bathroom here. We're not going to find one in this terrible place. And so Kim is darting around these neighborhoods. Nick's about to pee himself. We got to get there. And, you know, we're in a place where we don't know anything about who's around here. If we get out of the car, will I then be initiated into the crypts and have to murder everyone to show my loyalty? Like, what do I have to do here? So we turn a corner and I see a Jack in the Box. And Kim goes, oh, Jack in the Box. I said, oh, okay, I guess so. This is a weird neighborhood for that. But sure, let's go to the Jack in the Box. We go to the Jack in the Box. I get out of the car. I run into the building. I burst open the bathroom. There's a little short, weird, squatty Italian guy taking a pee. So I make a beeline for the stall, right? Okay. I'm going to go for the stall there. I don't even know where Nick is at this point. He's out in the car still or something because I had to go so bad. And I go in there and I hear this guy go, oh, where are you named from? And I went, enough. I didn't say anything. And then he goes, like that. And then he kicks open the stall door, or he opens it up toward him. He pulls it in toward himself, but pulls it in kind of violently. He's sitting astride the toilet, not duking it or anything. He's just sitting there.
Pants are pulled up.
He's got his arm. He's got his shirt rolled up to almost his shoulder. He's got the dirtiest rubber strap you've ever seen wrapped around his bicep. And he's got a needle kind of halfway into his thing.
And so he's in mid shoot.
And some people on Twitter are like, well, maybe he was doing insulin. No,
he was diabetic.
Diabetics
don't need to use the rubber hose around their arms.
Exactly. And I'm with you on wanting to see the best in people, okay? But he had like pock marks up from here to tarnation and back, little ones up in his fingers and stuff. And those needles looked gnarly, and there were two like empty ones on the floor. And he looked at me with the eyes of a crazy person and just grunted some other sound, grabbed his stuff, left the needles on the floor, mind you.
Sure.
And stormed out of there mumbling something in a dialect I'm unsure of. So that's, you know, welcome to Vegas, everyone. Wow. Welcome to Jack in the Box. Welcome to Vegas. And of course, and people are like, oh, man, what'd you eat at Jack in the Box? I'm like, I didn't freaking eat there. I mean, they're making it sound like the worst thing I could have done was eat at Jack in the Box, not interrupt a potentially psychotic, drug-filled heroin addict?
Right.
Like, what's worse? So there's number one. All right. We get out of there. We get back on. We do some back road shenanigans, right, to get back onto the thing. And then we finally get to a place where it's not too bad. And we get to Flamingo, and now we're kind of near the strip. And so things are starting to, it's like, okay, the familiar look and feel in the higher end of the town and not the poopy thing I just witnessed. We get to the hotel. We get out of the hotel, or out of the car, start unloading our stuff. And I'm walking around, and Kim goes, "Look out!" Like that. And I look down, and I'm about to take a step, and I haven't taken a step. I look down. There is on the ground, and you know what this is. It is what I can only describe as a giant pile / puddle of blood vomit.
Oh, my God.
So it was clearly somebody's yak was all over the ground, but smattered throughout was clearly blood.
Ugh.
I don't know what happened there. I don't know what caused this. And we are at like a near the airport kind of businessman hotel. Like, this is where we got the deal. So it's like off strip and it's close enough.
I thought you guys would do your timeshare out there.
No, we didn't this time because it was actually cheaper than the cleaning. We got a screaming deal. It was like a ridiculous deal. So, and it was a really nice, it was a nice hotel. We had two adjoining rooms. It was, the food there was great. They had food every morning and night for free. They had like a buffet thing. They had a pool, a hot tub, which I spent a bunch of time in. All that stuff was fine. Clean, nice hotel. Mm-hmm. But the nasty blood vomit out front. Never got explained. Didn't know what happened. Don't want to know how it happened. Went to the building. Came out later that night. Still a big pile of blood vomit. Everyone avoid the blood vomit.
That stuff isn't going to go away. And
nope. Came back that night, though. They had cleaned it. Here's the funny bit.
The hotel people finally.
I assume. I hope it was that. Who knows?
Crawled away on its own. And where's Nick Stokes when you need him?
Exactly. And they had done so much of a cleaning job, they'd actually scrubbed it with bleach. You could see the bleach cement.
Oh, nice.
Yet there were still blood stains from the blood vomit. So that was blood vomit, and that's the new name of my band.
Is there like a little chalk outline of the vomit?
And a little yellow card.
The CSI crew.
Yeah, a little yellow card saying Exhibit 3 or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
So blood vomit, and I want you to play bass for my new band. I'm going to call it Blood Vomit, if you don't mind. Blood vomit
is a perfect name, yeah.
Okay. Or you could sing. You want to sing and do bass. How about that?
Sure.
All right.
I'll do both as well as need be in a band called Blood Vomit.
Blood Vomit. Very good. All right. Then we go to McDonald's. Why? Because there's a homeless guy living on the side of the highway there, and we felt bad for him.
Well, I saw your tweets about him.
Yeah, he was living under blankets. It looked real miserable. It turns out he was living on a vent, and that's why he was in that spot, because there's some vent from some industrial something, and it's blowing hot air. Makes sense. But he had
probably hot chemical fueled. Probably air you don't want to breathe.
Yeah, you totally don't. But this guy was like Rob Zombie looking. Big, tall, broad-shouldered, scary-looking man, but I felt bad.
Yeah.
And I knew he probably had some implements to defend his zone, because if some other homeless guy was, like, onto the idea that this dude had a vent, he may want to come fight him for it. I had all this big scenario in my head. But I felt bad, and we thought, you know what, let's just go buy some stuff. We went to McDonald's, bought some food. And while we're at McDonald's, starts snowing. Snowing in Vegas. On the front of the car, like there's snow falling.
That's weird.
It makes no sense. And the guy in the McDonald's, I go, "Hey, you guys ever get snow here?" And he goes, "Snow? Hell no, man. We never get snow in Vegas, man. Hell no." That's how he sounded.
Huggy Bear you were talking to, apparently.
Pretty much. So I said to him, "No, look," and I pointed it out, and suddenly McDonald's erupts in the most pandemonium I've ever heard. They're in there all place. "Yo, come here, man. You got to see this. It's effing snowing outside. I can't believe it.
Leaping over the counter, grabbing the cash register, throwing things through windows.
Yep. So that was fun. And then, now smattered through all of this is good times. Lots of casinos, lots of great food. We're trying out restaurants we've never tried. We're having fun. The kids are having a ball. Good times. All right. We're having a great time.
Okay, good. It wasn't all horror and shock. And
no. But this guy pissed me off, and I want to tell you about him, and he's my final story of the day before we move on. I don't know his name, but we were at the little... Do you know when it used to be the Sega Gameworks down in the basement?
Yeah.
And now it's like a Rite Aid or something. Not a Rite Aid, but like a Home's Goods or a freaking TJ Maxx kind of place, whatever it is.
Is it okay? I knew that there was a TJ Maxx around from that, and so they must have just expanded down there. Is that
I think
the deal?
So, or maybe it's a different store.
You're talking about the one that's like it descends between the bumblebees and the Batman.
Yes. And they were still there, the bumblebees and the Batman.
Yes.
And they were hanging
minions.
Out.
Minions everywhere.
And I did get to see two Hello Kitties argue, and they were dudes in those Hello Kitties.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, they were arguing.
Dudes in every single one of those.
Yeah, I guess there's no ladies in there, right? Why would they do that to themselves? This is only
disgusting. Well, they could. I mean, there's...
I'm not saying they shouldn't, but maybe they shouldn't. Anyway.
75% of them have a criminal record. 75% or more.
Oh, gosh.
Criminal record.
That's scary. Yeah. Anyway.
Go hug that Hello Kitty.
So, Owen, I think I saw Steve Wynn, but I can't be sure. In the Bellagio. I'm pretty sure I saw him. Anyway.
Well, he doesn't own that anymore.
I thought he did. No?
No.
Oh, I thought that was...
He owns the Wynn and the Encore, and... He does not own any of the MGM properties anymore.
Oh, because MGM Mirage / yeah, I did a bunch of reading on this. There's like a weird ownership switch around when the housing crisis hit and everybody like traded hands or something.
Yeah, it was about I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right after he put his elbow through a copy of Picasso's Le Rêve.
Oh,
$17
right.
million painting that he jammed his elbow through.
On purpose, right? Wasn't that the deal?
No. He was getting it out to show somebody.
And he elbowed it. Oh my gosh. How would you feel? Well, for him, maybe he didn't care. He's worth like $4.5 billion or something.
Yeah, but still, it's, you know.
It's like you and I breaking. What's that? That's like you wrecking your car.
Something like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, for him.
It's not gonna kill me. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to make me destitute, but it's going to make a dent in my life.
Yeah, you're going to feel it. So... All right, so we're in that little area, okay? It used to be the Sega Game Works. It's kind of busy. There's the M&M store right there, the Coke store, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm hanging out waiting for Kim. She's getting cart or something down in that basement thing. And so sure. Nick and I are upstairs. An Indian guy with the biggest eyeballs I've ever seen. And when I say this, I don't mean this in some weird ethnic, like I'm making fun of the way he looks kind of way. I mean he had abnormally large eyeballs, like alien eyeballs.
Like Anne Hathaway-sized eyeballs.
Yeah, or that lady that there's this like African-American lady. She's always on TV or YouTube and stuff.
Oh, the one who does her bug eyes.
Yes, it was like that, but he was like resting face bug-eyed.
Right. Anyway. Here come all the gifts of that lady, I'm sure.
He comes over to me, grabs me by the elbow, holds my elbow and says, "You want free hotel room? You want free room?" And I say, "Excuse me? You want free hotel room?" He's starting to get kind of mad.
Right.
Or it sounded like it. And his eyes are like, rah, right, like looking at me. And Nick's going, oh, boy. He's standing there with me. And I go, I think we're good. We have a hotel for our whole trip. She goes, you bring your wife? You bring your wife free hotel room? And I said, no, I have like an 8-day. I got 8 days. I'm good. I have a hotel. Next time you come, you have free hotel room. Like this. And I said, no, you know what? I think I'm okay. And he goes, oh. And then walks away, mad as I've ever seen anybody, angry as shit. Kind of, and he was still that whole time holding my elbow. When he went, he kind of threw my elbow to the side.
They are not supposed to accost people. I mean, they
totally
go after
did.
Them for like timeshares and hotels and all that stuff. But
I was accosted. I felt like saying something. But who am I going to even tell? I don't know who he works for. I don't know anything about that guy. All I know is he had huge eyes and he was yelling at me. And I do not want free hotel room. He just kept going, hey, blah, 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 as loud as you could be. And then I watched him go do it to some other people. I'm like, that guy is the freaking worst.
Wow.
Then some big, really cool looking, like bouncer looking dude comes toward me. He goes, hey, man. I'm like, oh, hey, man. And he goes to shake my hand. I shake his hand. He goes, hey, man. Hey, I'm like, hey, and he goes, you looking, you looking for a good time, looking for a little bit of a good time, and I go,
is it Nick standing with you?
Yeah, well, he was right behind me, and so the guy gets a quarter view of Nick suddenly, and it hits him that, oh, this minor is with me, and goes, oh, I'm sorry, man, and he pushed me on my way, and that was it. So those kinds of things happened a lot more this trip, and I think it's because of this, and I'm going to make a final statement about Vegas during Christmas and the holidays and New Year's.
Okay.
Do not go there that time of year. It's so packed, Brian, and it's so out of control. There was a couple of casinos turning people away because they were at capacity, and unless you had a room key, you couldn't come in.
Oh, you can even go in.
Some of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was rare, and I'm told Mitzula says that gets worse. Like right now, if I was there today,
Yeah, as you get closer to CES.
Yeah, well, the New Year's specifically.
Oh, just New Year's Eve, sure.
You just can't go anywhere. It's just you can't move. Wow. So we were like Sunday at 2 in the afternoon, and I've never seen the Strip so busy in my life. And I've been there a bunch in the summer or other times they're supposed to be peak, CES, Comdex, stuff like that. Never have I seen that lack of parking, lack of movement, lack of space, lack of everything. You couldn't go anywhere. That's my final thought is, we had a ball, no regrets. It was great, but I don't know that Christmas is the time to go.
The trip that resurrected my love for Vegas. So basically, you know, went there when I was a kid, 13, 14, my grandparents took me out there. We went to, we stayed at Stardust. We went to Circus. I played with all the, you know, the carnival games while they gambled downstairs. And then my grandfather accidentally took me to a topless show because he got the Hiltons confused. And Doug Henning and Bill Cosby are at one Hilton and a topless show was at the other one. And we ended up accidentally going to the wrong one.
Oh, I remember you telling me about that. That's not good. Yeah.
But and then I didn't really go there, you know, except for maybe a couple times, didn't really go there. Since. And then in 1999, shortly after gambling came to Colorado and my buddy and I liked playing blackjack, he and I won like $6,000 on the radio show.
Okay.
And it was close to the end of the year. And he said, you know, if we go to Las Vegas, we can actually, if we save our receipts, we can actually spend some of this and then do a tax write-off because it's one money. And if we show receipts saying that we spent money trying to win it, even though it's from a radio station, but you know, one money, any you know, either way is one money.
Sure.
Then we can get a little bit of a tax break on it. So we're like, oh yeah, cool. It was right at the end of the year. We're like, let's do a quick trip to Vegas. He brought his then girlfriend, now wife, and I brought my cousin because Tina couldn't make it out there. And it was right around Christmas time. It was like the week before Christmas. We were out there for 4 or 5 days, and for whatever reason, just kind of the magic of like the Bellagio with that cold kind of mist rising from it that you only get in December in Vegas.
Yeah.
That was really cool. The lights, stuff done up for Christmas. It was, I don't
know.
That
stuff is cool. No, you're not wrong. Like, but beautiful in there. And like, especially in the big, nice hotels where they have all the kind of common areas. It was so nicely decorated and stuff. So I'm with you there.
But it was crowded as crap. And I remember that in, especially in 1999, near the end of the year, everyone wants to go there to spend the big Y2K New Year's Eve thing. And
oh, that's right. Because they all were, I mean, essentially they thought they might be going there to die because Y2K was supposed to kill us all.
Right, exactly.
So why not, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm looking forward to going again. I'm excited to be there when it's less crazy. And also I realized how much I really do like the heat of the summer. Yeah. Like, I really like, I don't mind that 110 dry heat on the freaking strip. I like it.
Sure. Well, give some thought to April, right around April, for the New Media Expo. Nicole Spagnuolo is going to be there. I'm going to be there. TVZ Gun is going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of us. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll get nominated for awards again and you can actually be there to get up on stage with me and collect them.
Yeah, why not? That'd be good.
Yeah.
When is that? The voting and stuff. We haven't heard anything about that, have we? We don't know what's going on.
No, now it's not done by Todd Cochran anymore. So.
Oh, Todd, what are you doing, Todd? Oh, that's right.
He sold it to the NMX people.
Did we ever find out how much he sold it?
They're in charge of it.
Do we not know? How much did he sell it for?
I have no idea.
We need to get some inside baseball.
I bet if I asked him, because we have a shared we have a bonding experience over our hatred for Richard Cheese back in 2008 when he picked up Todd's phone and threw it.
Oh, that was right. That was Todd's phone.
That was Todd's phone.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And ever since then, Todd hasn't been the same. He clicks forward in every PowerPoint presentation he gives.
Well, see, this is what you need to do. You need to say, hey, Todd, how much did you get for the podcast awards? And he'll go, I can't tell yet. Click. Oh, shit. I advanced the frame. Oh, you've seen the price.
$10,000. Oh, crap.
Damn
I didn't
it.
Mean to fast forward.
Oh, well. It bought me a lot of groceries. That's all I want to tell you.
That said, Podcast Pickleman, whose name is escaping me right now, is talking about doing his own podcast awards thing, a separate deal, kind of like something that I proposed several years ago, where it's done more like an academy and not like voting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it's voting, we'll go ahead and stack the deck again. So if not, we'll not stack it, I guess.
But if it's by an academy, then we'll win on our own merits.
That's
like
right.
We should.
That's right. All right. Well, we're not doing Trump Streck Nerd today because we ran out of time.
Okay.
But we are going to jump straight into the news. And it's right here because I have a thing for it.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news of New Year's, and it's brought to you by
Dear Frogville and Cover Pants. On December 21st, the most caring, generous, and downright awesome person in the world was born, my mother, Chris Betancourt. Just give her a shout out for me on or around that date, I guess Monday, and ask her if this looks infected to her.
Oh.
Love, your loving and spoiled son, Mikey.
Sorry, Mikey, we were off on the time, but we didn't have shows that
Hope you've gotten that looked at, because, boy, it is looking way more infected now than it probably was on the 21st.
Yep. One day it's infected, next day, blood vomit. All right. hey, good news, everybody. It's the end of the year, and what better way to celebrate than the world's largest wad of paper has been named.
Oh, thank goodness that it's been named.
Yeah. A state agency in Minnesota is claiming the world record for largest ball of paper. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, don't you know, says the ball measures 9 feet, 7 inches tall, and 32.2 feet in circumference. I don't know what that is in your French space points. You guys have to figure that out. the 426-pound ball was displayed at the Minnesota Fair to show how much recycled paper state residents throw away every 30 seconds. But anyone who missed seeing the ball in the fair is out of luck. The agency recycled it. They turned it into cardboard for cereal boxes. Oh, these Cheerios taste a little funny.
This tastes like Minnesota wad of paper.
I think they should have.
Does this taste like paper wad to you?
Yeah, what do you think, honey? I know you all don't sound like that. And I also know the metric system better. Okay, don't send me emails anymore about how Americans are the only. Look at this map of all white except the big red America that are the only ones still not using the metric system. Aren't you embarrassed for your country? I'm sick of those. I get those all the time. I don't care that much. We have inches. We also use the other stuff. Hey, did you know this? All of you stuck up the Celsius / the centimeter people. Did you know this? I use centimeters and millimeters more in the work I do, like my side projects and stuff, than I ever do inches. So just relax.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
All right. We just measure our wieners in inches because it sounds better.
It's 322 millimeters.
It sounds so clinical and less manly to say it that way. Two more companies.
Hold on a second. I'm just realizing. So the spokeswoman from this last thing?
Taylor Holland, yeah.
Taylor Holland.
Yeah.
Do you know who Holland Taylor is?
No, who is that?
She's the she was the boss on Bosom Buddies. She's one of the moms on 2.5 Men.
No, I didn't know that.
Do a search. We've seen her. I know we've seen her in something for FilmSec.
Taylor.
You'll know her as soon as you see her photo. She's she was in the Truman Show.
Her. She plays the she usually plays a rich stuck up mother.
Yes, exactly.
She was great in freaking. Curious George. What was the Swingin' George movie that's like Tarzan, but George in the Jungle? That's the one. She was the mom in that to the lady that fell for George, who's another actress who I can't think of. You're right. No, I know.
Yeah,
totally
it's just funny that Holland Taylor and there's a Taylor Holland. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a, if they've ever met.
Yeah, I don't know.
Crazy. If they like explode like Ron Silver in Time Cop.
Hey, is the half man still in 2.5 Men?
I think he's gone.
Angus T. Jones left?
Yeah.
Well, what the hell is that show then?
It's the Ashton Kutcher show.
It's still popular? I don't get it. I don't understand how that's still a thing at all. I mean,
Yeah.
What's the point? He's 21. He has the worst beard ever, by the way, this kid. Holy crap. Here, Brian. Let me share something with you.
Okay.
I'm putting this in the chat room so you all can... Whoa, sorry, the link is giant. But that's a terrible beard. That is a thing no one should
have.
Oh, wow.
No, that's... Yeah, that's...
What are you doing, kid? Your childhood was ruined. That's the problem. I understand how you feel.
I'm trying to be full man.
I don't want to be
half man.
Good stuff. Anyway. Two more companies have recalled repackaged candied caramel apples after another listeria outbreak. Oh, no. Merbs Candies of Missouri. Merbs. They voluntarily are recalling Bionic and Double Dipped Candy Apples from the California Snack Foods, which is recalling caramel dapples. Oh, that's terrible.
Caramel dapples.
I don't like that at all. These all have the Listeria thing. Now, this is, you think, oh, Scott, why are you just pulling some weird random Listeria outbreak thing that probably will affect hardly any of us? Well, here's why. Every year, there's a Listeria outbreak article, and I don't feel like ending the year unless we've had one, and here's one right here. 29 people sickened in 10 states. You know, that's a lot if you consider there are 300 million Americans. 29? It's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. Quick, batten down the hatches, seal up the windows.
It's not even a percent. It's not even a, what is that? What is 29 of a 300 million? Someone give me a percent, chat room. Get on your math. You guys all graduated? Come on. What is it? Give it to me.
Here, hold on. I got someone who's going to tell us.
All right.
What is 29 divided by 300 million?
Checking my sources.
Oh, she's not going to say it out loud.
Looks like the answer is approximately 9.66667×10⁻¹.
What the hell is it percentage-wise, though? What is that?
It's like point bunch of zeros, 9%.
All right, hold on. Siri, what percentage of 300 million is 29?
Checking. It looks like the answer is about 9.67×10⁶ percent.
See?
Yeah, we had the same exact thing.
It's the same, yeah.
But you sounded more official because it came from a dude.
It came from a dude because...
came from the CDC this, dude.
Ah, that glass ceiling still exists for the voice ladies on your phone. Brian's not wrong. All right. Anyway, Listeria, watch out for it. It's hot. HelloFresh.com is not going to send you anything with a Listeria outbreak in it. They're going to send you farm fresh ingredients that are ready to be cooked right there in your own home at HelloFresh.com. Fantastic sponsor all of this year in 2014. We love these guys. They've made cooking fun again for me, and they can for you. Everything you need in the mail there to make a meal in 30 minutes or less from amazing chef's recipes. Visit HelloFresh.com and see if they deliver to you. They likely do. The code is MorningStream for 50% off for first-time customers. That's MorningStream, all one word, at HelloFresh.com. Okay, all right. Here's this.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Hey, Tadpool, did you know the average person makes the same New Year's resolution 10 separate times without success? This year, start your new habits off right with an accountability coach. Let a fellow nerd and Tadpoolian help you establish lasting habits in personal growth, professional productivity, or the financial aspects of your life. All communication is through the coaching app, so there are no phone calls, meetings, or geographical constrictions. Use the code COACHME to work with me for free. For more information or to sign up, go to bit.ly/KRL coach. That's bit.ly/KRL coach.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, check that out. I just got a text from somebody. I'm not going to say their name.
Okay.
Because I don't want to incriminate anybody. But they said to me, here is the quote. Okay. Hey, looks like the show's just fine without Daryl. That's not very nice.
Oh, that's horrible.
It is horrible. I'm going to tell them that they shouldn't say
that.
We don't condone such things.
We don't condone such things. The fact that you'd even read someone as jerky as that.
I deserve to be reprimanded for reading this email or this text from this person who I normally...
I can't believe Veronica Bellman. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have said her name.
Well, you know what she said after that, though? Like after that, her next one was...
How about a booby?
I don't know how to respond. I don't know how to reply to that. I guess I'll wait and see what she does. Right. And also good news. I also got a text from Nicole, separate text, saying that she will be here after all today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She had she was at the hospital with her mom just doing a routine test, but it looks like the timing worked out. Good. So she'll be here.
Good.
Penny from the Big Bang Theory there. Your Kaylee Cuoco. How do you say it?
Kaylee Cuoco. That's correct.
Cuoco. Cuoco. Kaylee Cuoco?
Kaylee Cuoco.
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 Sure. Why not? She did not get a nose job, and she wants you to know it. She tweeted out a photo of her in a hospital gown in a bed covering her nose, and everyone assumed she got a nose job.
Penny.
Penny. Yeah, Penny. There you go. Penny. Ooh, that was loud. I don't like that show anymore, by the way. I can't do it. I can't watch it.
There was a time you liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was all right first couple seasons. I think it's all the same jokes now. It's just the same.
Basically, you know, someone described it as nerd blackface. Mm-hmm. And I kind of see the point. They've gotten away from their, their roots, I think. And it's really just exaggerated stereotypes for everything now.
Mm-hmm. And it's all the same recycled stuff. And I don't know why I don't know why people like it. I think character-wise, the characters are fine. And I like Penny a lot. I have a crush on her, but whatever.
Oh, yeah. She's adorable.
She says this, for those haters out there who are going to hate no matter what. She's trying to invoke the Taylor Swift song, probably. I have a confession, by the way. I heard that whole album over the weekend.
Yeah.
I kind of didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good. As polished pop stuff goes, that was fun. I enjoyed it.
She's not untalented. It's a good crossover mainstream album.
Yeah. I don't like her line, though. I said it on Twitter. What is it? The guy over there with the hella good hair.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me want to peel a scab off and eat it. I don't like that line. let's see. She says this. For the haters out there going to hate, no matter what, let me inform you, I have not been able to breathe through my nose like a normal human being for years. This surgery is changing my life. With that being said, if I did get a nose job, which I didn't, I wouldn't be shouting that from the rooftops as well. Or I would be. I would be shouting that from the rooftops as well. My guess is she had a deviated hoo-ha and she's just having it fixed.
Septum.
Let's septum?
Make sure we're clear about which part of her is deviated.
All right, septum. I'll take your word for it.
Yes.
Finally, Dustin Diamond in the news
and
again.
And the AVN Award for Best Deviated Hoo-Ha goes to...
Hey, those are coming up. Aren't those still during CES or they change
that? Yeah, right around CES. Yeah.
Right after or right before or something. That's next week, so they're getting ready.
Yeah.
And I've decided my favorite casinos during Christmas are the Mandalay Bay and the Pyramid. And here's why.
Oh, Luxor? Well, yeah. Luxor has gone through such a great re-transformation.
Yeah. It's way better.
Tell me why.
Because they're huge. They're huge, clean, and there are less people in them.
Sure. Well, they're also further away from kind of the center area. Yeah,
the crazy part.
Like Aria, Bellagio, Cosmopolitan. Mm-hmm. Normally my favorites, but when the place is busy, those are the three that kind of take the brunt.
Yeah, takes the wind out of your sails. The freaking Bellagio was wall-to-wall people. Beautiful in there, but man, holy crap.
Oh, did you guys go through the Arboretum?
With the stuff.
Right.
Yeah, had a bunch of Christmas crap in there. It was really pretty. Yeah.
I'm sure it was. Cool. I love what they do in there around Christmas time.
A few photos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Let's see here. Dustin Diamond, TV Screech.
Yeah.
You familiar with his work?
I am familiar with his work.
All right. Dustin Diamond arrested for reckless behavior. Dustin Diamond, best known for his role as Screech on Saved by the Bell, was arrested in Wisconsin on Friday. This is according to TMZ. The Ozaukee County Police Department. Ozaukee. That's probably Indian.
It's
a tribe or something.
And apparently Siri thought I said, "Hey Siri." I did not say, "Hey Siri." God, you always think I'm talking about you.
What? What did she say?
I said, "What would you like to know about Teresa Ozoa?" Because I was trying to pronounce it. I was trying to pronounce Ozaukee.
All right. The police department, I'll just say, confirmed the news to HuffPost Entertainment. He was arrested for possession of a switchblade, reckless endangerment of the first degree, and carrying a concealed weapon. According to TMZ, Diamond, age 37, he looks older, allegedly stabbed a man after getting into an argument late Christmas evening at the Grand Avenue Saloon. The man and some friends were reportedly being rude and insulting toward Diamond and his girlfriend, Amanda Schultz, the actor told the police. He did not intentionally stab the individual at the bar, but that the chaos broke out and people were grabbing him, and he swung his arm to break free, thus stabbing a dude. Somebody got a half-inch wound, substantial bleeding, right under the armpit.
Yikes.
Speaking of armpits, I forgot to tell you this. Lovely lady out in front of the Tropicana having photos taken. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, the people that wait around for you. Oh,
sure, like the showgirl.
Yeah, you know the ones. Showgirls, they always smell nice, and they're just nice. Those are fine ladies. Mm-hmm.
There are 75% of the men in those costumes are criminals as well.
Well, maybe
there's a man inside there.
Maybe that explains what I'm about to tell you, because I was watching one of them or two of them put their arms around a guy in the middle who's getting pictures taken, and the guy with the camera said, "Hey, how about a little more exuberance or something, or be more excited?" And so these two girls both go with their outside arm and stick them out like showgirls, like stick them way high in the air. Sure. Girl on the right, no problem. Girl on the left, a quarter, it looked like a quarter or like a Susan B. Anthony dollar size mole in her pit with a with like a big chunk of hair hanging off of it. I was like, what is that? That is terrible looking. What is that thing? It was about the size of a like a silver dollar. It was terrible. Anyway, then maybe that was a dude.
that was a little bit of the guy inside didn't get that costume sealed up all the way.
Could have been. It's really weird. Anyway, Screech stabbed a dude. Authorities found a stiletto folding knife with a 3.7-inch blade, which uses a thumb stud and assisted opening mechanism in Diamond's car following the incident. Tip of the knife was reportedly moist. The tip of the knife was reportedly moist.
But it doesn't say with what?
No. No.
They don't say moist with blood. I mean, there's, you know, talking about stabbing, but they could have said moist with blood.
Like a Screech licked it off. Did he?
Like fresh. Yeah. Did he cut open a bag of saline with it?
Did he hold it in his urine stream? Like, what did he do?
A Screech. Meanwhile, the guy who played Slater made a sandwich.
And is living his life quietly without any real trouble. I really feel, in some ways, I feel bad because what can Dustin Diamond do to not be this thing that he is?
I mean, well, he did the sex tape a few years ago.
Oh, that's right.
This is the guy who's really trying to get out of that. I know I played Screech, but I'm not Screech anymore.
I mean, wouldn't you want to? I mean, this is what I would want to do. The healthy mental thing I would want to do if I was Screech on TV, and now that thing is gone, that ship has sailed. I'm not being asked to be in other roles now. I'm not Will Smith, right? Going from Fresh Prince to a huge career.
Right.
So if you're that guy, you've got a bunch of money. You still get money from the residuals every time they show a repeat of that stupid show. You're getting money. You're fine financially. Wouldn't you just want to just quietly go, all right, that was it. That was all right. Now I've got another life. I'm going to go do something else. It's not going to be in the limelight. I don't have to prove to anybody I'm anything. Just be.
My thinking is that when you've got that taste of fame and you, and for some people, I think this is the case. You've got that taste of fame. You've got that era where, well, I've got lots of money. I can spend it on the things I want and not have any repercussions, not worry about it. When that goes away, when the Saved by the Bell con stops happening annually in Hoboken.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a sign.
You kind of want to figure out a way to get back in that limelight. And unfortunately, TMZ seems like the answer for some of these people.
Yeah, I feel bad about it. It's like, can't they all do like a Shirley Temple when you know you're done? Go do another career, find a happy life. She had an amazing life after her time as an actress. And Shirley Temple. She did great.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, she kicked A.
Humanitarian stuff.
And yeah, like, and she worked for the government. She was like a
ambassador.
Yeah, to somewhere important. Yeah, like she had a real productive, cool second thing to do. I just think you ought to have that. Like when Bieber's done buying himself a jet for Christmas, you ought to have something else to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he needs the money, but you know, just you got to find some happiness. Because the minute when your star goes down and nobody gives a poo anymore, you're either miserable or you got other ideas. Have some other ideas. That's all.
Yeah, agreed. Big thanks to EDC, by the way, sent a link about the 25 things you didn't know about Saved by the Bell or something like that.
No. Give me one.
Dustin Diamond was the host of the 12th annual Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, gosh.
So there you go.
Why is that? Why did the Juggalos decide that? what was the thinking
Screech,
there?
Screech, how does he work?
Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. Lark Voorhees, not related to Jason Voorhees, who apparently never had a drug problem despite rumors, was a Jehovah's Witness. She was also at one time engaged to Martin Lawrence. Her first television role was on Small Wonder. Oh, this is all very interesting. Let's see. I'm just skipping ahead here. Let's see. Yeah, some of these are just like,
Okay, there was somebody who was on three episodes. Great. Let's expose the skeletons in their closet.
Thanks, Pajabba.
What's Mr. Belding doing these days? Yeah. I'm really curious about Mr. Belding.
What's he up to? Who's in the photo there? The guy, the Lopez guy? Is that Mario Lopez?
That's Mario Lopez.
And he went on. He's just does that Access Hollywood.
Access Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah. And who's the one that
live from the Grove in Los Angeles?
Who's the one that went on to do strip tease or strip girls or showgirls?
God, what is her name? her name is just not coming to me.
Yeah.
Showgirls was the movie.
Showgirls was the movie, and it was
my gosh.
Jimmy John Frankenberger.
I'm pulling it up here. I can't. Elizabeth Berkley.
Thank you. What's she doing?
Last thing she did was
Showgirls.
she played a doctor on an episode of Melissa and Joey.
Mm-hmm.
She was on CSI Miami for quite a while, for about 9 episodes.
All right.
She was on The L Word.
Okay. That's the Lesbian show, right? That was a show.
Lesbian show.
Yeah.
One episode of Law and Order Criminal Intent in 2006, Without a Trace, Black Widow, CSI 2003, Foam Dancer Renee. Yeah.
Not great. Just kind of average stuff. That's okay, though.
It's kind of exactly. But she's still making a living. She's still
good.
She's still doing her thing.
Good. Verhoeven left her in the dirt and she picked herself up and moved on.
Exactly.
Verhoeven.
Listen, we want her to take off the clothes and dance on the pole. You can do this.
All right. That's my Verhoeven impression.
That's well done. I think for a second there, I thought he was right there in the room with you.
Why, thank you. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's show as well. Big thanks to Tweaked Audio for this entire year. Tweaked Audio making a alt character. No, we're not twinking characters.
I'm glad you went to that definition.
Yeah, that's a better one, right?
Thank you. Yes.
A little more family friendly. They are awesome. We love them. Go get a pair now. There's still time. It's the 31st. You still have time, everybody. Engineered for durability, noise reduction, and compatibility. It's a lifetime warranty on everything at tweakedaudio.com. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off your next pair of fantastic audio accessories at tweakedaudio.com. We're now going to take a break. When we come back, it's Nicole Spag with Recommendals. It's Tom's Tech Time with Tom Merritt and a few emails. So come on back. You hear? Brian, you got a little music for us? What's going on?
I do. I got to give a shout out to EDC in the chat room. Formerly Ironic Name, now EDC.
Now, what happened there? Why is the
for
name
finding,
change?
I don't know. Oh. EDC is a more ironic name than Ironic Name.
Oh, I see.
He's got a picture of Mr. Belding holding up a pair of women's panties in a Dairy Queen.
What?
Oh no, that's a Baskin Robbins pink spoon right there. I'm pretty sure.
But still, what? Why? What's happening? I don't understand that at all. But all right.
And what's Mr. Belding doing?
You know he's got underwear. Yes. Anyway.
All right. Bryce Morell emailed in, said, my birthday is New Year's Eve, and it would really be awesome if you could play a cover for me. I live in South Korea, but I'll actually be home in the States for my birthday. I'll be separated from my Korean girlfriend, and I'm hoping you will play a song from my favorite band, The Shins, to make things better. Thank you for the hours of entertainment. Love the show, though. Bryce Morell.
We share a love of The Shins. I like them a lot.
Yes. And now, I was going to play. They do an excellent cover of Squeeze's Goodbye Girl.
Mm.
Love that song, and I love their version of it. But I didn't want to go through the whole, you know, Brian, you're playing a song about ditching a woman or woman leaving you, blah, 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 for this guy's, when he's away from his girlfriend. So I'm not going to do that, people.
All right.
How about something that's a little bit more sweet and romantic? Mm. I have to thank Veronica again for letting me know about the magnetic fields.
Not turning you on?
Nope, not turning me on to the magnetic fields, but letting me know about the magnetic fields.
Okay.
I got to credit Veronica Belmont for turning me on.
All right. You guys heard it. I heard it.
I heard it. All right. They recorded this cover of, I'm sorry, The Shins recorded this cover of the magnetic fields, Strange Powers, for the Triple J Like a Virgin show down in Australia. This is fantastic. It's a really sweet song, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. Strange Powers by The Shins.
Here it is. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
On a Ferris wheel, looking out on Coney Island, under prostitutes in Thailand.
Something to put her in junior college here in town for 2 years. So we'll have that. But instead of going to college, she'll get a full-time job in campus town. Say she doesn't care anymore about education. So with that, and my part-time job, we'll get by.
Uh-oh. Here's Sue now.
Gorgeous. Trash can.
The Morning Stream. Rambling goes in, podcast comes out. You can't explain that.
Oh, look at us coming on back and doing a show still. We're still got a show going right here, don't you know? That was a really good song.
I'm kind of bummed that EDC is still putting pictures of Mr. Belding in the chat room when we've had this great conversation about Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, yeah.
Look. Who, like, if you do a search for, she did some sort of photo spread in 2013 and still looks absolutely amazing.
Well, let's see. Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
If there's a website called Me in My Place or something. Fully clothed people.
Oh, she's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked her.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with her.
The Saved by the Bell years, the 90210 years, dating David Silver years.
Who's the one with the, who's the one that had the eyes that were, one eye was like 2 inches above
the
other one?
That was Brenda Walsh.
Right. Her eyes were really, it was really weird. Yeah, she looks totally nice. She's moved on. I can tell in Tiffany Amber Thiessen's face, she's moved on.
She's moved on.
She doesn't need us. She doesn't need fame. She doesn't need us. Screw us. We're lame.
She's putting pictures of herself posing on the internet. She doesn't need. She needs us a little bit.
She needs fame. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
all right. It's Nicole time. I'm so excited she could be on. I was worried we wouldn't get to talk to her before the end of the year. Let's add her on to this here call right here. See if I remember how to run all this stuff. I think I do. I believe I do. It's ringing. Let's see. Nicole, are you there?
I am.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Okay, hold on. I'm going to play your thing. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, dude. One more time with Nicole before the year ends. That's what I like to hear.
Yay, made it.
good.
Yay, that's awesome. Your mom's okay? Everything okay?
Yeah, it's okay. Just a routine, whatever, colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy. I got to have one of those coming up, you know, in a couple weeks probably. Are you, how was it? How'd she do? Is she,
well, she's doing it right now.
Oh.
It takes like 2 hours. So she said, you could go home. It's okay. Just come back at 11 and pick me up.
Oh.
This is her third time. So she knows the routine.
It takes 2 hours?
Yeah.
Holy shite. I was told it took 45 minutes. Maybe they'd do it different with the older
folks. Also, make sure, don't let them give you the liquid.
Oh.
Make them give you the pills.
Oh, they can do pills?
Yeah, they have. There's like 20 pills you can take.
More importantly,
instead of drinking the liquid.
But you have to take 20 of them?
Yes.
Well, it's over time,
all spaced
right?
Spaced out over.
Yeah, in 15-minute intervals.
Oh, I can do that. That's way better than the drinking.
And you have to wash them down with, well, the same liquid. But hey,
these sugar pills are going down nice with this liquid.
The liquid one made her sick, so they gave her pills.
Well, I'm going to ask for the pills then.
Yeah, ask for the pills.
I'm more interested in your comment that you said make them give you the pills. I didn't know I had a choice. I guess I can say, hey, I'd prefer the pills, I suppose.
I think the liquid might be cheaper for them, but the pills are going to be better for you.
All right. Yeah. I'm doing the pills then. Because then you just like, and then it kicks in instead of having to drink salt water death.
Exactly.
Hell liquid for the. Oh, that sounds awful. All right. Yeah. I think that's, you know what? You really helped me today because I was dreading that. And I didn't know they had a pill option. I'm doing the pills.
It's new. My mom just found out about it, this one. Past right. two, it's been brutal on her because she always gets sick from the liquid.
Yeah, I ain't doing this. Yep, that's it. Brian, if I were you, too, if you ever get one of them things and you don't like the thickened liquid, it's get the pills, man.
Listen, if it's for a colonoscopy, couldn't they just why do I have to swallow the pills?
I've already asked my mom this question. I said, why can't they just give you an enema? Yeah. She said... It's a deep purge.
Yeah, it goes from top to bottom. They want
deep
that.
Deep purge is my blood vomit cover band.
That's a perfect match. All right. Well, speaking of perfect matches, Nicole comes here yet at the end of another year of great recommendals to do one final recommendals episode.
I can't believe it's the end of the year already.
I know, it's weird, right?
Brian, I was listening to you early, and before we get into it, you were in Vegas in 1999?
Yes.
I was in Vegas in 1999.
Well, get out. Why didn't we see each other there?
No, I don't think we knew each other. I was in for the New Year, I was in at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, really?
What were you doing? Just hanging out? Just there for the heck of it?
To celebrate, you know.
New Year's. New Year. Okay.
Well, see, we were there the week right before Christmas. So, we would have passed like ships in the night.
In the airport, right? Wow.
But you see what I mean about it being kind of, you know, with the lights, does feel kind of festive there.
Oh, it's amazingly festive. Don't get me wrong. A beautiful, awesome, festive. Also, 50 billion people in all corners of your body.
It was the last time I ever go.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I was here to ring in year 2000.
Yeah,
done.
You do it once, you're done. I'll bet that was crazy town, though, just because of that Y2K 2000 business.
Kind of not fun.
Yeah, that and New York, I'm guessing, were the two destinations.
Oh, yeah. Now, one of these years I would like to go to Vegas and celebrate New Year's in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's bananas. I wouldn't recommend it.
All right. Well, there you have it.
It'll be when I'm rich and I can just have the penthouse suite at the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah,
and,
helicopter
rent
in.
Rent that out, have everybody out there, and we'll just hide away in there the whole night.
Yeah, Brian, you helicopter in. Everyone drives to that casino from wherever they're at like 10 a.m. when everyone's still drunk and asleep.
Right. Good.
And then we stay there all day.
Stay there all day long. Right?
And then we waddle through the blood vomit from the night before and leave the next day. It'll be great.
Plan on it. 2020 is when we're going to do it.
All right.
James will help us from Same Sex Mary. He'll get it all.
Oh, he'll totally. In Missoula.
Yep, I meant to get in touch with those guys, and I didn't. I meant to, but I didn't. I didn't do a meetup either, because you know why? There is nowhere to meet. meet me by the homeless guy. He's got a vent. We'll stay warm. That's the closest you're going to get. And there was no meetups.
You know who came to Phoenix just a week ago, right?
No.
Brian.
Did you guys see each other?
No,
we
I just
not.
Family in. He went to see the Marvel Experience.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that.
I went yesterday.
Mm. Oh, you did? What did you think?
Do you really want me to tell you my opinion?
You didn't like it, did you?
Didn't it feel like it was just broken?
Well, there were a couple things
like I loved all the video work and the animation. And I found out, guess who played Red Skull? The voice of Red Skull.
Oh, who did Red Skull?
Liam. our good friend Liam.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh,
right,
in a game or in a cartoon or something?
No, it's this whole virtual experience. You go from dome to dome, and you're recruited as, you know, part of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so you get some really cool action scenes, and it's like a little mini movie that you're interacting with.
Mm.
But, yeah. I don't know. What was missing, Brian? Did you like it?
I liked it. I'm a big Marvel fanboy. So, you know, you stick me in a room with a bunch of fake superhero props and everything is S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything, you know, it looks like, it feels like you're on the helicarrier in a Quinjet. That part of it I really, really liked. There were a couple things that were broken, like the shooting gallery game, the 3D mm-hmm. shooting gallery thing.
Like at the very end, the last thing you do is so awesome.
Oh, yeah, that 4D motion ride deal.
Put your hand in the air and it'll light up. And I'm like, they took my bracelet away.
Right.
I don't even know what the point was with that.
So they hadn't gotten that fixed by the time you went there either. Yeah, we didn't. Those weren't working. The bracelets, they're supposed to light up and help you save the day.
Scott, it's like a traveling theme park.
That's what I was led to believe. But it sounds like it's not. I mean, you're not the first person to say that it's a little janky.
Yeah. I was really hoping awesome. I mean, it was still kind of fun, but long lines. They don't. Would it have killed them to like put somebody in a Hulk costume? You know, just have some characters walking around. It's cool.
That
but
seems
I guess
like
that
you would
like
do that
from the whole virtual reality thing.
Yeah. It seems like it wouldn't be that hard to get like a Spider-Woman walking around or something. That's weird that they didn't do that.
Sorry, I sidetracked us. I just had the Marvel experience kind of is fresh in my mind. And I know Brian went and I was sad that we couldn't go. But now that I'm kind of glad because we took Mateo with us.
Oh, yeah.
See, I think if you have a kid that's maybe like between 9 and 14 and you're a huge Marvel fan, I think mm-hmm. they'd get more of a kick out of it. Because like the laser, you know, the room where you've got to crawl through all the lasers and all those other video things.
We didn't
did you guys
do any of that? We didn't. Yeah. There was long lines on that stuff too. And
yeah,
it was honestly a test run for Disneyland
to see how Mateo would hold up. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, you can't base it on that because Disneyland is geared towards kids of that age where there's everything to look at.
So, all right. So why we're here, recommendals.
Yes.
Right?
Recommendals. Right, damn it.
Right. Okay. I don't really have anything planned. In fact, when we spoke last, I put up a poll, and I'll tell the results. So next week, I'm assuming we're recording.
Yeah,
so we have a theme next week. So this one's just kind of a potpourri of what we've been watching.
Okay.
And since Mateo's been home from Christmas break, all I've been watching is a Amazon Prime show called Creative Galaxy. And you can only watch this on Amazon Prime.
Oh, I saw this on there and wondered what the hell it was.
It's wonderful. It is, if you have children and you're looking for a, you know, really fun, interactive, kind of Daniel Tiger, it might even be voiced by the same kid that does Daniel Tiger. It sounds like him, but it's all about art and creativity. And it's an Amazon Prime show. So
Samantha Bee does a voice on there from The Daily Show. That's cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, it looks really what's the word? Whimsical and fun and stuff.
It is. And it's so funny. It's Mateo's new favorite show. And at night, you draw a spaceship. And so he wants to draw in the air with his fingers and draw the spaceship. And so it's adorable.
Oh, that's really cool.
So we've been watching the hell out of that show.
God, it's so, and you know what? It's so good to hear that there are family shows like that or shows geared towards a younger crowd that aren't so obnoxious that as parents we can't stand
it. Agree. Like, this is funny because speaking of streaming kids shows, all of Pee-wee's Playhouse is now on Netflix.
Yeah, that's right.
And Carter and I decided one night, I'm like, you know what? This was rad when it was on and you're too young to remember this. And she's like, I don't remember at all. And I said, well, let's watch one and see if this holds up or what's going on here. It is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It is holds up. It is hilarious. It is weird. It is engaging. It's perfect for kids, but adults are like, what the hell am I doing here? Yeah. Freaking Morpheus is on it as a cowboy named Cowboy Curtis. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. The blue, they remastered it too on Blu-ray and it looks, because I had the old DVDs and then they remastered it on Blu-ray and I picked it up on Blu-ray and the difference is it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really well made. But anyway, yeah. Samantha Bee, by the way, plays the mom.
She's an architect in this. So yeah, there you go. It's really cute. I highly recommend it. If your kid watches, you know, shows like Super Y, Daniel Tiger, it fits right in there, and it's actually quite tolerable to watch as an adult too.
Good. I like stuff like that. Cloris Leachman also on there.
Oh, great! From Raising Hope,
she plays Galleria.
She's an artist.
Oh, okay. So. Yes, she is.
That's awesome.
Great. Yeah.
She's Granny on that much overlooked Beverly Hillbillies movie that was made. She was a big Granny.
Much overlooked.
It was such a good movie. Damn thing. I love that movie. It's one of the only, hey, let's take an old TV show and turn it into a movies I can stand. I love it. Anyway, sorry.
And my brother-in-law, he lives in England. So he flew in for the holidays, and he, I wouldn't say forced me, but he put it on the TV and I ended up getting engaged in it. It's on Netflix. I don't think it's on Amazon, but it's a mockumentary called Come Fly With Me. It's by the guys who do Little Britain. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't seen that show, but I hear it's funny. Like a Matt little sketch Lucas, comedy show. Mm.
So Matt Lucas and David Willems. There's just two guys, but they do all of the characters, and the characters are hilarious. And it's all about this airport and all the people that work in the airport.
Oh, so it's not like a, I thought it was like a riff on the Sinatra song or something.
No.
Fly with me.
It's an actual mockumentary in an airport.
Okay, got it. Wait, you said asshole documentary?
Actual.
I could have sworn the way that Skype just cut you, it sounded like, okay, a-hole documentary. All right, anyway, continue.
Yeah. So... But you know Matt Lucas, he was the roommate in Bridesmaids.
Oh, okay.
So it was him and Rebel Wilson as the roommates in Bridesmaids.
Oh, right. Yes. The obnoxious British, right.
Yeah, so I recommend this. It's really funny. There's a few times I've had to turn on subtitles.
Yeah. I'll try to forget that Rebel Wilson was in Pitch Perfect, the least favorite movie of mine of all time.
Really?
I hate that movie so much. It sucks.
I haven't seen it, so I can't comment. So I did two recommendals. I did an adult one for Come Fly With Me and a kid one for Creative Galaxy. So what have you guys been watching?
I started watching HBO's In Treatment.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, because I'd heard about it for ages, about how awesome it is and whatever, and I love... the whole idea of what they say it is. It's a different patient every week, you know, and it's like a mini drama all in a half an hour. And I love Gabriel Byrne anyway. So
God,
it's like
he is
easy,
so good. Yeah.
Easy pick for me to watch anything he's in. And it is really good. Holy schmear. That's good. It's on Amazon Prime is where I'm seeing it. So, and I know I'm late to the game, but it's awesome. Loving it.
I'm late too.
Yeah. Well, you should watch it. You'll like it.
I've been watching a lot of Arrow, as people know. I've been making my way through all those. Some of it I watch on Netflix, some of it I watch on the Blu-rays. Big thanks to Matt who sent those out to me. And I'm going to defend Laurel Lance. In the first season, much better character, much better acting from the actress who plays her than in the second season.
It's the sister, right? The sister.
What's that?
Is the sister?
No, the...
Or the mom.
No. The sister's great. Thea?
Well, what actress are you talking about?
Laurel is played, what's her name? It's the girlfriend.
The one that's super, way too thin.
Right. Well, second season, way too thin. And that's a huge change from season one to season two. Almost looks like a different actress between seasons.
And we're not, this isn't me going, hey, you're too thin. You need to be, it's not body shaming. It's just like she just looks, I don't think it looks
unhealthy,
healthy. Yeah.
Of,
scary.
I hate to say it, but
anyway.
Yeah. Katie Cassidy. But really, really liking season two. And I can't wait to finally get caught up and then be able to watch Flash and all that stuff. Netflix wise, recommendal here from me is a movie called Wild Target that came out in 2010. This is a British import, stars Bill Nighy as an assassin.
I love him.
Like a hitman. He is so good in everything, and he's really good in this. Emily Blunt.
I love her.
I know, I was waiting for that. Rupert Grint.
I don't like him.
You don't like him?
No, he's fine. He's just always going to be, you know.
He's always Ron Weasley.
What is this movie again?
It's called Wild Target.
Wild Target.
Yeah, and
I love that there's two Ruperts in this. Rupert Grint and Rupert Everett.
That's a couple Ruperts.
Yeah.
Double the Rupert.
Yeah.
Also, Martin Freeman is in this, and they do something to Martin Freeman, just one little cosmetic change that makes him look like a completely different person. It's kind of like Matt Dillon in There's Something About Mary, where they put these fake teeth on him. Yeah.
Oh, and, wow.
And he looks
it's
like...
It's not streaming.
It's not streaming. I had to get the DVD. But it is worth finding. It's worth... it's worth watching if, you know, basically put it on, if you don't have the DVD plan on Netflix, then do one of those little reminder things that lets you know when it's finally streaming somewhere. I'm sure there's some, there's something that does that.
Is that Ron Weasley in there?
Yeah. Yeah. That's Rupert Grint.
Oh, that's his name.
Yep. Rupert Grint, which actually sounds like a Harry Potter name in and of itself.
It does. Right? Rupert Grint cast the spell before he left the room.
He does a cameo in this Come Fly With Me.
Oh, really? That's funny. Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, how funny.
He's going through the airport, and one of the, I think he's a, he works at a food place, and he's talking to him, and he gives him a script, and he's like, could you pass that on to Radcliffe for me?
That's really pretty good.
Yeah, it's really, it's
That's fun. Pretty good. Well, there you go. Those are some fine.
Yeah, it's a Wild Target. Go
some
check
fine
it out.
Choices. I was going to mention some documentaries, but I think I'm going to save those for our next documentary heavy episode, because I think they're worth mentioning as well. Nicole Spag, what a great year of recommendals it's been. We look forward to 2015 in the same way.
Do you want a theme for next week?
Yeah, what's our theme? What's our
theme? Yes and yes.
Yes.
All right, so I put the poll out there. We had a lot of people recommending, and so I just added them all. So I figure we could probably go through them. Right now, the number one, I'm not even sure how we're going to do this, but maybe you'll get it. It's submitted by a photocyclist. PG movies that were never that would never be rated PG today.
PG movies that would never make it. It would be at least PG-13 or R today.
Because at first I thought, well, does he mean should they have been? Because PG-13 was enacted July 1st, 1984. So anything 84 and back? I don't know.
I guess so. Although, well, yeah. No, I think I get it. Because you can actually do this question both ways. There are lots of movies out there that I think would be, would have been R today. Or no, the stuff that's R today would have been PG then. But also there's some things that were R then that would totally be PG today. So
what are we doing?
I think we do it. I like your idea where it's like, what movie was PG back in the day that would like, kind of offend people now.
PG-13 or R now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, that's
so
a funner challenge.
84 and back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty hot. That's pretty hot. That's pretty hot. I like it.
I'll remind you on Tuesday.
Perfect. Have a wonderful time. I hope your mom's doing good.
Wait.
Oh, there's
wait,
a Quizler.
I know Tom's waiting. He's probably. Oh, he has a thing, doesn't he? Oh, I'm so sorry, Tom.
Oh, does he have a thing? Does he have a thing? Well, give us a Quizler. Go.
Gosh.
Power source. He'd have to heat the cube to 120 million Kelvin just to break through the Coulomb barrier.
Unless Selvig has figured out how to stabilize the quantum tunneling effect.
Well, if he could do that, he could achieve heavy ion fusion at any reactor on the planet.
Finally, someone who speaks English.
Avengers.
Yeah!
It's Avengers.
Brian, we're trying very hard.
Took me a second. I was trying to... were you watching me? And I was like...
The Tesseract Cube, and it was Ruffalo, and it was Tony Stark telling him how he could figure something out. It's when they were having their little conversation on the ship, and then eventually that turned into why don't you let yourself turn green all the time, and then they all had the argument, and the freaking staff started throbbing because everyone was mad at each other.
That's right, yep.
Camera went upside down. Nicely done. Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. Nicole Spag everywhere you look. Nicole, have a fantastic day. Have a great New Year's, and we'll see you
Happy
next
New Year's.
Week. Bye now.
You too.
Bye.
Bye now. All right, Brian.
Okay.
Let's get Tom in here. I didn't know he had a thing. He must have a thing.
Yeah, I wonder what that thing is.
I don't know. We'll find out on this edition of this thing I'm about to play.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That patient man is Tom Merritt. Tom Merritt, welcome to the show. Hello.
I'm a patient?
You're a very patient man.
Oh, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, dude.
You too.
Yeah, way to go celebrating a year of DTNS.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Multiple Current years. Geek. Yeah, right? Current Geek is a year. This next week will be a year.
And being alive.
Being alive another year. What else? You've been doing this thing on this show for at least 2.5.
Oh, yeah. From the beginning. Thank
yeah,
you
we're old men is what we are.
There is no country for us, I hear.
And no soundtrack. Nope. Tom Merritt, always fun to have you on, and very much looking forward to talking today about what's happening in the technology world as we near the end of 2014, and what a weird year in tech it's been. But not only do I suspect, I know because I've been listening to a bunch of it. DTNS has touched on a lot of what has come in the previous year as far as technology. Not all of it very positive this year, but what have you for us today as we drift off into the endless sleep of 2014?
I want to talk about Mars.
Yay.
Okay.
All right.
The chocolate bar?
Yes. I don't think it gets enough appreciation. Milky Way gets all the attention. Yeah.
That's right.
Mars bar is a classic.
The lesser of the space themed chocolate bars, yes.
Now I want to talk about the Opportunity rover. Discovery News has an interview with NASA out today about the problems they've been having. I feel like over the holidays, probably a lot of folks out there have either gotten new tech or maybe were tech support for their family that got new tech. And they've been dealing with glitches and issues and bugs because that just comes with the territory. And maybe this will make you feel better. NASA has been dealing with a bad flash drive on the Opportunity rover, which made it lose contact for 3 days. Ugh. It's been constantly rebooting. It has what they call an amnesia problem because instead of writing to the flash drive when it can't, it writes it to RAM, but then it goes into sleep mode and forgets everything.
Oh my gosh, that's weird.
It's like Memento.
Opportunity is living its day over again. It has to write things on its like
tattoo,
protracted arm.
A little post-it note in its hand.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you are a rover. You are on Mars.
I assume this isn't like, when you say flash drive, it's not like, oh, it's a little thumb drive you got at Costco. Like, it's something else. Like,
I'm assuming they did not get it at Costco. Also, don't forget, Opportunity's been roving on Mars for 10 years.
Yeah.
So this is not.
It only feels like a day,
right? this is hardened old tech. NASA always puts up outdated tech anyway because it's proven. So this is flash memory, which was actually fairly cutting edge at the time. But yeah, you're right. It's not a USB flash drive, but it's the same kind of fundamental underlying technology. Mm. They've got 7 banks of them. They've tracked it down to being one particular bank of flash memory that seems to be the problem, and so they are rewriting the software, you know, from Earth and trying to update it with Opportunity all the way on Mars while Opportunity continues to like have problems writing and remembering who it is and looking at its post notes the whole time. And yet they think they've got it. They think they've figured it out. They haven't quite finished the update yet, but you know, talk about putting it in perspective, you know, from a planet away with a huge delay in hearing back that your software update actually was installed, right? Because it has to cross the vast distances of space.
Yeah.
They're able to troubleshoot and fix this rover that's 10 years old. It was only supposed to operate for 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's been operating for 10 years. Makes me feel a little better about the fact that my, you know, my new Nexus 9 turns black if I forget to close Skyforce before I let it go to sleep.
Well, okay. So it is amazing that we're well past the 3 month lifetime of that device. And the fact that it's still going is awesome. And maybe this signals that, oh, things are going to start falling apart. Either way, it's an amazing thing. What blows my mind about this is that we, regardless of the speed, and I'm sure it's terrible, and from what I read on that book, The Martian, it seems like it would be terrible, but the bit rate, the data rate to get this updated firmware update basically to Mars is unfathomable to me. The idea that we can even do it. Do we even know how they do that? Like, how do we pinpoint where the thing is? How do we know that it's a direct connection? There's not a cable.
No, there's the Mars orbiter, the Odyssey, actually is in constant contact with the Earth. I shouldn't say constant because I imagine it probably goes out of contact every once in a while. But it's in continuous contact with the Earth. And so all of the messages for Opportunity are actually sent to the orbiter. Mm. And then the orbiter contacts Opportunity and sends the information down, which is one of the reasons it goes into standby mode, is when Odyssey goes, you know, it's in orbit, right? So it goes out of sight for half a sol.
Sure.
Right? Then all of a sudden, Opportunity can't get any updates from it. And so sometimes it's like, well, I'll just go into standby mode while I wait for something for Opportunity. And then it wakes up and is like, who am I? What am I doing?
What's going on? Yeah, exactly. It's like, hello, Opportunity. This is the Orbiter. Hi, who
Orbiter
are you?
Who?
Who? I don't know you.
Hey, don't knock Opportunity.
It's the one who knocks.
All right. So I heard a conspiracy theory, and I want you to debunk it because you're good at that. All right. And I don't actually believe this either, but it's an interesting conspiracy theory that is a very science fiction-y one. And so I thought it was fun. So I'm glad you brought up this Mars thing, because here's the deal. Somebody has floated the idea that the reason that that rover has not only surpassed its 3-month life expectancy, but gone well into 10 years is because there is an outside intelligent force on that right. planet upkeeping that thing.
Yeah,
and we just aren't aware of it.
Doing a pretty crappy job,
yeah.
given that the flash drive keeps going out and it can't remember who it is.
Right.
Well, Costco's not open 8 hours a day on Mars.
Sure, not on Mars anyway. I don't know. Yeah, you know, obviously it's a little bit silly, but it's kind
it's
of a cool idea.
Extremely silly. Let me just say, I'm a big fan of a good conspiracy theory. Yeah. If it fits the facts, and you go, ooh, you know, that could explain things. That one doesn't fit the facts very well. Like. Really? An alien intelligence is like, I know what I'll do. I'll keep this one rover going. Not Spirit. I'll let Spirit just go to crap.
Yeah.
But I'll just sign. And I'll be so clever, I won't maintain one of the flash drives. So they have a problem.
Mm.
And
see,
they,
you know, that's, yeah, you're right. And it would be like me floating the idea that Spirit didn't like the limelight. So it gave up and decided to go dark like Elvis, but still lives and is made.
I actually like that one better. Like, the Spirit rover actually secretly found evidence of life. And so they pretended it went offline.
Yeah. And it's so spending all of its time
it's continuing to like be in contact with some sort of primitive life forms on Mars. They don't want to let us know.
Yeah.
Hey, I like that one. That's a good one.
That one's not bad. It's trying to, and it needs, and it has now a motivation to keep. I think it artificially ruined that memory so that Opportunity doesn't remember day to day, because Spirit does unspeakable things to that other rover at night, and it doesn't want it to remember in the morning. Conspiracy complete.
Absolutely. No,
we've done it.
You know, a lot of people don't realize what goes on behind the scenes in rover life. And I'm glad that you're finally bringing this out into the public consciousness. It's in the public interest, and it's a conversation the nation should have.
Yeah, and rover life, I'm sad
rover
they're going out of
rover
circulation.
Mental long-distance wireless violence is in a too often ignored issue.
It really is. It's the sleeper story of 2014, and I'm glad you brought it to light.
Rover Gate.
I love space. We should do more things in space, and I love hearing things about this kind of stuff, even when there's a problem, hearing how they surmount it and accomplish it. I mean, this is, I just feel like humans should be doing more of this, and I'm always glad to hear that more is being
done. There's a mission that will arrive at Ceres, the largest object in the asteroid belt, this year, and go into orbit. They also had an issue where a while back, they had a cosmic ray basically disrupted operations, and they didn't make a course adjustment when they needed to, so they had to replan the entire flight of that probe. But it's still going to make it. It's going to make it to Ceres. It already visited Vesta, which is the second largest, or one of the second largest objects in the asteroid system. But Ceres apparently has water. They've seen evidence of geysers.
Whoa.
Of water coming off of it. There's all kinds of interesting space stuff coming in the next year.
I hope it just keeps happening and happens more and more before I die. I just want to see more of this stuff, you know? Like, come on.
Well, then the singularity comes as a result of the side effects of all of this exploration and the enlightenment that it brings, and then you live forever.
And then that's it, because then we don't care. I'm a bottle with a weird soul in it.
And
something.
You're like, hey, I still have to do the morning stream? I'm 1,572 years old. Can I take a break?
Yeah, can I take a week off?
Well, that, by then you'll be able to replicate yourselves into multiple Scots.
This is
you
true.
You can have a different Scot for every day. You'd never miss a show.
Yeah, Scot, one Scot per day, five out of
whereas
six Ibbot, doctors.
Because of his commitment to the craft, will just do it himself.
Oh my gosh! Exactly. Speaking
I
of commitment,
I couldn't leave that. I couldn't trust one of my clones to do that. Are you kidding me?
Of course not.
Yeah, Scot and I will be like, hell no, we're cloning, cloning all day long.
Don't trust Ibbot 4. That's the worst of your clones. That one's a bad one.
It's almost played by Michael Keaton, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Tom Merritt, always great stuff happening in your world. DTNS, I assume there's a New Year's edition today. Yeah, something like that.
There is. Predictions episode. Me, Justin Robert Young, and Patrick Beja talking about what we think's coming in tech in the coming year.
That'll be very exciting. A little French
there's
in there.
There's also another
little,
predictions episode I did with Jonathan Strickland for the Tech Stuff podcast that's coming out January 7th.
Oh, very nice. Guess what else we're going to do? This Friday, Tom and I, it's going to be a little bit different. No guests, no live show, but Tom and I are going to get together and do a Current Geek, our geekiest things of the year show. And we're going to slap that together for you on Friday. So, yes, there will be a Current Geek this Friday. It will be a very special edition of the show.
Yeah, it will be, you know, Scot and I putting on our tweed jackets and our pipes and our, our cups of cider.
Yep.
Sitting by the fireplace, musing about the year.
Our pants. Whatever else comes to mind.
Are we wearing pants?
I thought I had decided. Sorry, we need to offline. This is an offline conversation.
Yeah, we'll
please coordinate.
Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter, TomMerritt.com. So many cool things happening. Please pay attention, people, and Tom will talk to you soon. Happy New Year, dude.
Happy New Year, you guys.
Bye. You too.
Bye. He waved at us. I like it when he waves.
I do, too. That's...
it's so, like, professional hosty.
Yeah.
Brian, we have emails.
Let's do some emails.
We're going to tear through them, and they're brought to you by...
this once weekly podcast brings together four music fans where they take turns bringing a noteworthy album for the others to review. Once per rotation, they bring on a guest. This week's special guest is the one and only April Ness, Viking Lass, with the album of her choice, Soilwork's The Panic Broadcast. Follow the crew and play the Record Breakers home game at Twitter at 4RecordBreakers and at recordbreakerspodcast.com.
Fart gas! You had to yell fart gas at the end. Blood vomits on the new one.
Oh, God.
Dan from Michigan wrote in, says, Scot, I always hear you specify that the name of the team Utah Grizzlies is spelled with two Z's, implying this is a silly way to spell it. The term grizzly bear is spelled with two Z's. Is the team mascot a bear? Love the show, though, Dan. Yes, he is. But it's not. But Grizzlies is spelled wrong.
It's not pointing out that it's spelled wrong. You're pointing out that Utah teams have to have that double Z in their name, like Jazz.
Yeah, they all do. And then I know Memphis has a team. They're also the Grizzlies. You know, they're a bunch of Grizzlies out there.
Sure.
I get it. I just am saying that two Z's in every sports name is annoying here in the state of Utah, which I love otherwise. All right. All right. Eugene from Phoenix wrote in. He says, hello, Scot and Brian, on show 735. Well, that sounds like a big number when you read it that way. During the Trek Nerds... 735? Well, how ironic, because it's about the Trek Nerd segment. You commented on how the number one cause of death is not what the media says it is, but just plain old age. You are only partly correct. The number one cause of death in the United States is heart disease, which is brought on by a result of old age because cells lose the ability to repair themselves and things start to fail. There are all kinds of professional medical surveys online that show this. Just thought I'd share this. Love the show. Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, something gives up. So if you live to be 85 and then you just die in your sleep, well, it's because your heart quit beating or your lung collapsed or your wiener fell off or whatever, right? Like, I get it. Right. Yes. Right. The degradation.
There's a lot of things your body can't repair itself from that you can die from because you're old.
Yeah, because you're old. Not because you were 52 and got cancer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Freaking cancer.
Because you're old.
Final email from Mike in the meeting. Mike from the Meeting Stone, it says here.
Okay.
Sent from his iPad.
Nice.
That is a portable viewing device.
That's a device. One of them iDevices.
Scot, you and Brian were talking about toilet paper eating lady, right? The one that ate toilet paper every day. Right. And then revealed Kim's habit of poking her ear with her hair. I was shocked. My wife's been doing the hair poke thing her entire life. I let her know she's not alone. Poke an ear, bro. Mike from the Meeting Stone.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard also from a few others that their wives also, when they get tired,
they do the hair poking thing.
Poke their ear with their hair. Yeah.
That is so crazy. I've never heard of that, but...
it's really weird.
It's a thing. All right, people.
It's a thing. It's strange. Get used to it. Thus endeth our emails. That was the last email of 2014. I hope you, Mike, feel good about that. Tomorrow and forever, there's no show tomorrow. But there is a show Monday and forever. There'll be shows. There'll always be shows starting Monday. There is no show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's another holiday. And there's no show until Monday, normally after Thursday. Anyway, so be here Monday. Let me just get around to what I mean to say, which is we'll have another. Monday. Yeah, we'll be here Monday with a new show.
And just a quick reminder, the podcast people who may not have been here for this show, we're an hour later now. So if you do want to tune in and listen live, it's 9 a.m. Yep. Mountain time.
Yep, 1 hour later. So shift your clocks forward 1 hour. Our West Coasters are rejoicing. A few East Coasters are grumbling. Some people in the UK are like, holy crap, it's 4 a.m. now instead of 3. Whatever. If you listen to the show live, and truth is, this affects... I mean, we love our live listeners, don't get me wrong, but it literally affects less than 1% of the people who listen to the show, because most of you catch it on the feed, like 99 point something.
I just found out that for ironic name / EDC, it's 4:38 a.m., so he's not sure he's going to be able to listen live anymore. Oh, no.
It's time for milking. Get up and milk.
Exactly.
All right. Well, there you go. That's it. I can't believe it was. How did it not work? How did it work at 3:45
work?
Yeah. What, how are you? I don't get it. Anyway, whatever. That starts today, and therefore Monday it'll be 9 o'clock for the live listeners. That's Mountain Time, so 8 a.m. if you're on the West Coast. And by the way, all of our contributors to each guest segment during the week, they're all West Coasters. They
with the exception
all,
of Steven Schleicher.
Oh, yeah, Steph Schleicher. But they all benefit from this change, except Schleicher.
Right.
I'm going to put except Schleicher on the end
except
of every sentence.
Except for Schleicher.
Yeah.
He's the new love the show, though. Except for Schleicher.
Except for Schleicher. It's just hard to spell. That's the only problem you'll have. The email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. Our phone number is 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. 801-471-0462. On Twitter, follow us at Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. I did the Boop Show final year-ender thing yesterday. Are you doing... there's more Coverville still.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you teased into this. Yeah, Coverville, the best of 2014. So for the last 3-4 days, I have been struggling with computer issues. Did a full reinstall on my Mac and actually solved a lot of other problems I was having. So every once in a while you have to do that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of delayed a couple things. Episode 1 of the 2-part episode of Best of 2014, counting down the 40 best songs, 40 best covers of 2014 will be today. I might try and record both episodes together just to knock them out and then release the other one on Friday. So if you want to know what the best covers were released this year, I pared down a list of about 500 covers down to the best 40, and you're going to hear them today on Coverville.
Nice. Coverville.com for more. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. Folks, thanks for being here.
A song.
Oh, yeah. Let's do some music before we get out of here. And once again, just a giant Happy New Year from us. Thanks for making this year great. It's our biggest year for TMS. Our best numbers, our best download numbers that we've grown like we've never grown before. You guys are just rad, and we love you. And thanks for all your support at Patreon. Patreon.com/TMS. It makes a huge difference, especially leading into this next year. You guys are awesome. So thank you for that.
Yes.
Brian, give us
second
music.
All of that stuff.
Oh, good. Well, then I third it, and then you fourth it. And then I fifth it.
Okay. How about an email from Sean, a.k.a. Puppy? Wow. Dear great Scott, and also pretty cool Brian.
Aww.
My beautiful girlfriend's birthday is on December 23rd. Due to this, it's often overlooked or squished into Christmas. Could you please play her a cover of our song, David Bowie's As the World Falls Down? If you don't have any good covers of that, I'd like Puppy Love as I'm her puppy and she's my bunny. I love you so much, bunny. Live long and prosper, puppy. Oh, I can imagine the conversations in that house.
Mm.
Puppy. Yes, buddy.
Yes, buddy. Could you bring me some tea, puppy? That would kill me after a while.
So in 2010, a great David Bowie tribute album came out called We Were So Turned On, a tribute to David Bowie. And it featured the song, which most people will remember from the film Labyrinth. It's the ballroom dancing scene with Jennifer Connelly and David Bowie.
Yeah.
Such a great song, and so few people cover it. Everybody wants to cover Heroes and Young Americans and Let's Dance and all that stuff. Not enough people cover As the World Falls Down. These guys do. It's a band called Lights from New York City, and they're awesome. They've got a very Susie and the Banshees kind of feel to them, which is great for this song. It is As the World Falls Down, performed by Lights.
All right. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great, safe holiday tonight. Don't drink yourselves into some crazy stupor, okay? All right. Imagine a world where you don't.
Imagine.
All right, that's it. We'll see you guys on Monday. Oh, okay. Well, Brian's okay. But you can do that because you'll safely do it in the confines of your own space.
Of my own home. Exactly.
Bye, everybody.
Why can't you see? You're my fantasy, baby.
Podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Treat the mouse button as if it were hot, sort of like the potato in the game Hot Potato.
Yeah, hot potato.
What a bad piece of advice.
That's terrible advice.
Like, ha, ha.